Now remember, today's theme is being able to roll with the punches. Bill Barber was my first guest as an angel investor. He's definitely got to roll with the punches. My second guest has rolled with the punches as well, and he is one of the funniest men that you've never heard of. He's responsible for some of the funniest television programs in the United States. Gene Parrott has been a comedy writer since the early 1960s. He's worked for comedians such as Slappy White, Phyllis Diller, and many, many more. Listen to this list of programs that he has been associated with. He has been the head writer or producer on Welcome Back, Kotter, Three's Company, The Tim Conway Show. He worked as a comedy writer on The Jim Nabors Show, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, one of my personal favorites, The New Bill Cosby Show, The Helen Reddy Show, Carol Burnett Show, and Carol was a guest on our show, Mama's Family. He's also written individual episodes for All in the Family, Joe and Sons, What's Happening, Give Me a Break, and the Saturday night favorite, Love American Style. Gene was on Bob Hope's writing staff since 1969. He has earned 7 Emmy nominations. He's won 3. He has 2 Writers Guild nominations. He's won 1. He's written over 40 books. His latest books include Tales from the Script, Breakfast with Archangel Shecky, and Talk About Hope. Welcome to the show, Gene. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, I am doing terrific, and thank you so much for being here. Rolling with the punches, and you heard the segue there from our first guest, Bill. He said that he has some companies that are on the road to success, which, of course, leads me to think of the On the Road movie series with Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, and you were Bob Hope's lead comedy writer there for a while. Tell us about some of your experiences with Bob. What kind of a man was he? What do you remember most about him?
Oh, he was terrific. Fun to travel with, fun to work with. And the thing I know about him that applies to success was that he wouldn't let you let up. He would force you to do something. And sometimes you'd object to that. Then you'd find out it was really for your own good. He called me once and said, we need a song for the beginning of this show. And I said, yeah, I agree. He said, write it. I said, if I could write songs, would I be wasting my time writing comedy?
You'd be at the Brill Building in New York. You'd be writing hits.
He said, I think you would. And but he said, go ahead, write it. So I started writing it. I picked out a little tune on my guitar and wrote it up and turned it in. And it was nominated for original music for an Emmy that year.
Congratulations,
so
man.
He kind of forced me into doing it.
Now, did he know that that was going to stretch your talents and that you were going to lead down a proper path, or was he just taking a guess, a wild guess?
I think he did know that you could do a little more than you thought you could. When we were traveling during a peacetime trip, we traveled around the world, and he did a little medley with Rosemary Clooney, and they both sang songs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the songs was Why Do I Love You? Rosemary sang it to him. And Bob Hope said, because I'm lovely to look at, I'm easy to hold. And I added a line, I've had all my shots. And it got a nice laugh because the soldiers are sitting there. They enjoyed it. And he says to me now, do that for all the songs.
I love it.
He said, you can't change all the songs because then it won't be recognized. And he said, you did it for one, do it for the others. So he always pushed you a little bit, as he pushed himself, you know.
Which is good. That's how he became the excellent comedian that he was. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody. A great comedy writer in his own right, has written for many, many shows. Gene, a lot of people don't know, you were Philadelphia born and raised, but how did you come to comedy writing? I mean, and can you make a living at it? Obviously, you've done it for all this time, but how did you get to be a comedy writer?
Well, it was always a hobby. I was always interested in it. I mean, my idols when I was a kid were Bob Hope and Abbott and Costello. I loved them. And I just wanted to be funny. So it was kind of a hobby. And when I went to work at a big industrial plant in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. General Electric, in fact, I would write material and do it at lunchtime and make little books up and things like that. Then my supervisor retired, and they said, why don't you do something at the party we're going to throw for him? So I did a little monologue, like a Bob Hope monologue. And it went over very well. They said, gee, we got another guy that's going to retire in about a month. Why don't you do that? And I started to do 2 or 3 of these things a month. And it was great training because it was writing that I had to present myself, so I certainly wanted it to be funny. and it was the same audience, so it had to be new. So it was my apprenticeship. I did this for a number of years. And then Phyllis Diller came to town, and a friend went over to interview her for a newspaper. And he told her about my writing, and she said, tell him to send me some jokes. I sent her the jokes. She sent back a check, and that started everything.
Oh, wow. How great is that? Now, Phyllis has been a guest on our show in the past as well. She's a lovely lady. And that's just as simple as it is. I mean, you had the connection with Phyllis, and she said, send me a few jokes, and boom, your career's off and running.
Well, that's the way it started. Now, you put in a little bit of an apprentice time even there, too, because it took about 9 years from the time I started until I got a call to come to Hollywood and work on a staff. And a lot of the people I meet, because I work with young comics and young comedy writers, and they want it immediately. But you got to put in that time. That's where you learn the tricks of the trade and how to roll with the punches.
Exactly.
You find out that some of the stuff you write is not real good. You find out the next time, well, maybe I'll do some of the better stuff that I did. And you learn. And you need that learning period. I've seen writers come out to Hollywood, and they came very fast, and after 1 year, they were gone, and that was it. So you have to get that apprenticeship. You have to find out what it is that you're playing with.
Now, Gene, you are a funny guy. You write great jokes, and obviously over the years, you've written many, many great jokes, but a lot of us think we're funny. You know, and a lot of us think we're handsome, a lot of us think we drive well as well. But what is it that makes a comedy writer funny, or what is it that makes a joke funny?
Well, you know, it's interesting because you said I've written 40 books. I'm writing a book now about just that, about the Ten Commandments of comedy. And it's sometimes hard to define what makes it funny. Obviously, if you're sitting in an audience and somebody tells a joke and you laugh at it, that's funny. So it's easy to tell when something is funny, but to find out what makes it funny is tough. One of the things that you absolutely need is surprise. You just got to have that, and many of the young writers that I work with, beginning writers, don't realize that. They put lines in there that are they're good concepts, but there's no surprise in them. You know, as an example, Rodney Dangerfield has a great line. He said, I get no respect. You know, my father gave me a bat for Christmas. First time I played with it, it flew away.
Right.
Funny line. But if you change it and take the surprise out, you do a line like, you know, I get no respect. Last Christmas, my father gave me a live bat. It's not there, you know.
Right. It doesn't have the play on words. It doesn't have the surprise that you're talking about.
That's what you need. You need that surprise. And there are other elements that go into it. But I'm still working on the book, so I haven't finalized them all.
Well, we'll look forward to that book coming out. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody. His latest book, Tales from the Script, it chronicles his behind-the-camera adventures as a TV comedy writer. He's written for so many different TV shows. Gene, we've got to do a little giveaway for our listeners that are out there, and this is going to be a brand-new one for us. We've got a beautiful black KKZZ AM1400 hat, and that's going to go to the second caller at 639-0008, 639-0008 for this beautiful KKZZ hat. So call in now. Or if you have questions, you want to join the conversation with Gene Parrott or myself, give us a call, 639-0008 as well. Gene, you know, let's go back to Bob Hope for just a minute, if we can, please. And you were involved in some of the overseas specials with the armed services at Christmas, which I watched faithfully as a child growing up, and I loved that. Tell us about some of those overseas specials and what they mean to you.
Well, the first time I was asked, we were doing a show, and the producer came over and said, would you like to go to Beirut? And I said, no. And then I withdrew a bit, and I said, you know, Bob Hope, as I said, has always been my idol. This is really his trademark. Why don't I find out what it's all about? And I went right back to the producer and said, yeah, I'm gone. So I went, the first trip was to Beirut, and I made all the trips since then. We traveled around the world and to a lot of trouble spots. What they meant to me was you could see the power of comedy and the power of humor. Because when we got to Beirut, we stayed at on a ship. We stayed at sea. And the morale was very low with the guys because they had been there so long. And yet, when we came on, you know, they welcomed us. One of the sailors took me and took me on a tour of the ship, showed me the calendar he had over his desk with all the days marked off. They couldn't wait to get out of that place.
Mm.
And yet when we got there and we brought this humor to them, it picked them all up, and you could see that. It was very, very vivid. And that's what I think Bob Hope got out of it, too.
Absolutely.
You see what he said was, we didn't bring comedy or shows to these guys. We brought a little piece of home. We used to bring the girls out, you know, and they're gorgeous, and the guys would yell. He said, I just wanted to show you what you're fighting for.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, that is interesting, because Bob Hope's Christmas specials were always known for the beautiful co-hostesses and women that he had on the show with him. You know, looking back on it, you had to write material not only for Hope, but, of course, some of these special guests as well. Who were some of the more memorable guests that accompanied you overseas on these specials, and why did they stand out to you?
Well, you know, they all kind of did. The women, of course, were the favorites. You know, I used to tell them that when we stepped off of our helicopter, be Bob Hope, George Kirby, Vic Damone, Kathy Lee Crosby, Ann Gillian, Brooke Shields, and me. So guess who didn't get mobbed? I almost got pushed overboard in the rush to get to Brooke Shields. But they loved the girls, because that was, you know, as Bob Hope said, I just wanted to remind you what you're fighting for. And the girls loved it, too, because, and Hope did. Where else can you walk out and get an audience that is that receptive? They loved everything you did. In fact, the way, it's interesting, the way Bob Hope got started with the military was in 1941, and one of his writers said, why don't we go to March Air Force Base, which was just north of Los Angeles?
Right.
And the reason he asked is because his brother was there, and he said, we're bored up here. We've got to have some entertainment. And Hope said, why are we going up there? We got a microphone here. We got radio here. We don't have to leave the studio. He talked him into it, and he went up there, and Bob Hope came on stage with all these guys that were starving for entertainment, told his first joke, and he said it erupted. The noise was deafening. And he said to the guys, where have you guys been all my life? And from then on, they did every show, every radio show from a different military base, and eventually they got to go overseas and do the Christmas shows. But it started because of the audience. They wanted entertainment, and that's what he provided.
We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody, author of the new book, Tales from the Script. He's also one of the lead writers for Bob Hope and all of his Christmas specials overseas as well. And, you know, on the Christmas specials, you went to a lot of foreign countries, a lot of war zones and everything else, Gene. Were you ever in harm's way at any time?
We probably were, but it was never that clear to us. For instance, when we were in Saudi Arabia, they said there were a lot of Scud missile attacks, and all the military knew where their gear was to protect them. And I said, jokingly, I said to the military person who was with us, I said, where's my gear? He said, if we get a Scud missile attack, you'll be zipped up and put into a suit so fast you won't know what hit you.
Oh, boy.
So they all knew what it was. The only, you know, Bob Hope was a very positive person, and almost fearless. He just had such confidence in himself. The only time I saw him scared was one night we got back to the hotel in Saudi Arabia, or might have been Bahrain, and I think it was Bahrain, and the military guys that accompanied him said, before you go into your suite, we want to go in and look around and inspect it. And he said to me the next day, he said, you know, I couldn't sleep last night. He said, I figured they must have gotten some advance warning, and I was worried all night that there was somebody hiding in my closet or something.
Oh, my, yeah.
So we had things like that, but no real close calls that I can recall.
Well, that's good. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody, author of the book Tales from the Script, and we've got a break for some commercials right now, Gene, but when we come back, I want to ask you this question. You know, you've written for a number of American television classics. Which shows stand out in your mind? Don't answer that now. Answer it when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and every show has a theme. Today's theme is being able to roll with the punches. My special guest is Gene Parrott. He is author of the book Tales from the Script. It's a story about his life as a comedy writer. He has written for all of the great television shows, all of the great comedians that you can think of. It's all contained in his book. If you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 639-0008, 639-0008. Before we went to break, Gene, I asked you a question. You've written for a number of American television classics, and of all the shows that you've written for, which ones stand out in your mind and why?
I guess I'd have to say, well, of course, the Bob Hope shows, they were all fun, but I think that the weekly show that I enjoyed was Carol Burnett.
Mm.
And it stood out because the writers were good, and the performers understood the writers. They always complimented you. I mean, not complimented by telling you how good you were, but added to it. They took the material and put what they could into it, and it just got better and better. Excuse me. And then they all got along well together, so it was a powerful show in that sense.
Absolutely.
I think my favorite sitcom that I worked on was Mama's Family, because it was with Vicki Lawrence playing that role.
Mm-hmm.
Mama was somebody that everybody that I knew related to. It may have been their grandmother or their mother or their Aunt Susie or something like that, but there was something in there that most people could relate to. And I had fun writing it.
Mm. Now, you mentioned Carol Burnett. I have several of the shows I want to quiz you about, but you mentioned Carol Burnett. She was on the show earlier in the month of June, and you know, she was a pioneer in television. She was really the first female with her own musical comedy variety show. What was she like as a boss?
She was terrific. She had, they kind of shared the boss part of it, because her husband was the executive producer.
Joe Hamilton,
yeah. So we used to kid about pillow talk. Carol was always nice, and Joe could sometimes be tough. But we suspected that he was tough because maybe Carol told him to be, which is true of a lot of associations. Bob Hope had a brother who was his boss, and they used to call him the Bad Hope. But overall, the show was good because, as I say, they respected the writers. Writers turn in good stuff, and they turn in mediocre stuff and sometimes bad stuff. And Carol would just look at it and say, no, this isn't it, but never get upset. You're not trying to ruin her career. You didn't do it on purpose. You just had a bad day. So we'd put something else in. And that made it easy for the writers, because you never felt like you were going to get chastised or fired or something like that. You did the best you could, and you turned it in, and together we all made it work, generally.
Sure, it sounds like a very supportive sort of environment to be working in. Now, one of the other shows that you worked for was one of my favorites. It's a classic, which is Ronan Martin's Laugh-In. I thought that was very innovative in its time. But tell us the story about how you became the writer on Laugh-In, because you almost ended up not taking the job.
What happened was George Slaughter was the honcho behind Laugh-In. And Phyllis Diller went on there to do a guest shot, and she brought some monologue material. And George liked the monologues. So what he did was he snuck a look at the piece of paper, and on the back, Phyllis had a name and a phone number. It was a phone number in New York, so George called the guy and said, how would you like to work on Laugh-In? The guy was delighted. He said, you willing to move to Hollywood? And the guy said, yeah, and everything was gone. And then some way, it became obvious that they weren't talking about the same thing. And what Phyllis had done was written down the name of a hairdresser in New York that she was going to see. So then he had to go back to Phyllis and say, who wrote those jokes? She told him, and George called me, and that's how I got on Laugh-In.
That's great. But you were you almost didn't take the job. I mean, you thought twice about taking the job at Laugh-In because you had been so successful prior to that.
Well, they offered me low money. And I felt like I shouldn't take it. So I told my agent, I said, no, I can't work for that kind of money. And he said, wisely, he said to me, look, you've been out here 2 years. Not that many people know about you. And as I said, some people come and disappear. He said, if you get out of the business now, they're going to forget about you totally. You may never get another job. He said, take the job, take the low money, You'll make it up later. So I did. I took the job, and sure enough, when I left Laugh-In, I went to another show with George Slaughter and made back everything that I had lost on Laugh-In. So it worked out very well. That was the Bill Cosby show.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody, author of the book Tales from the Script. He is one of America's funniest guys that you've never heard of. He's written for a number of very, very famous comedies, sitcoms, specials, etc., that you grew up with, just like Billy the Brain. Now, Gene, in the beginning of your comedy career, you were kind of shy and reluctant to speak up in front of your peers. How was that a detriment to your career, and how did you eventually overcome that?
Well, what they say about writers is, are you funny in the room? And what they mean is, when you get into a session where you got to talk and fix something and ad-lib, can you speak up and come up with a good line? And I was afraid to throw a line out. And what would happen, I'd sit there and I'd think of an idea, but I'd keep it to myself, and the meeting would go on. About a half hour later, somebody would come up with the same idea, and everybody would say, oh, that's wonderful, that's great. And I said, I thought of that half hour ago. But it doesn't do any good unless you tell somebody. So eventually, I got my confidence, I got in the room, and I could throw ideas. And the secret is, and when I became a producer, we made this part of our pact with the writers, you can throw any idea out, and we made it a rule that you couldn't make fun of anybody. Because if you throw an idea out, they turn on you. Again, it destroys your confidence. So I just learned that you have to talk up, and some of your ideas will be good, and some will be bad, and that's what you got to do. I was working with Hope one time, and he said, I need a joke. So I gave him an ad lib, and he looked at me. He said, that's not very funny. And I said, I know, but it's meaningful. I'm trying to save my line now. I said, it's very meaningful. If you said that in front of an audience, you'd get applause. He looked at me, he said, how long have you been writing philosophy?
Oh, very funny man, that Bob Hope. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody. Now, it's very interesting. The foreword of your book was written by Jim Nabors, and it clicked in my mind. Is Jim Nabors still alive? And how did you, you know, get involved with him and some of the other famous stars in the programs that you wrote for?
Jim is still around. In fact, he did a show this year. I think he just turned 80.
Wow.
And he did a show. He said, I wanted to say that I worked into my 80s. He's living in Hawaii, and he does very well, and he's a nice man. And it was interesting because I called him to do this forward for me, and we talked on the phone for about 40 minutes. And I said, you know, Jim, the last time we talked was about 30 years ago.
Goodness.
And it was like old times. But the way I got with Jim Nabors, I was I had written for Phyllis Diller's show.
Mm-hmm.
But I still lived in Philadelphia. And the producers there got to their agent, who later became my agent, and said, this guy can make it out here. So he called me and said, write some shows. And there were two shows, the Lennon Sisters and Jimmy Durante and Jim Nabors.
Right.
He said, write some samples for both of them. I did, and Jim Nabors' show called back and said, we want you to come out here. And I took the first offer I got, so I don't know if Jimmy Durante and the Lennon Sisters liked what I did or not, but I didn't wait to find out.
That's good for you. We're talking to Gene Parrott, everybody. One question that I've got to ask you, if you look back over your distinguished career, what accomplishment or accomplishments stand out in your mind?
Oh, boy. Well, the nicest feeling was when we got nominated for the Academy Award, not the Academy Award, the Emmy, and stood up on stage and they handed me a statue. And first of all, it felt so heavy. But just the idea that you're there, and then the concept that this is something that I've always wanted to do, and here I am now being honored with the staff. I mean, it wasn't just me, but our entire writing staff, being honored by your peers. And that was kind of when it all said, this all makes sense. The other things, I think, would be having an idol like Bob Hope and then having him call me and ask me to write for him, then go over and meet him. The whole time I worked with Bob Hope, there would be times when I'd sit there and say to myself, I'm sitting here with Bob Hope.
Yeah, pinch myself.
Yeah, exactly. You get that feeling. And then, of course, the military trips, when you go there and you're there kind of making history, both political history and history with an entertainer, because they were great shows and they were highly rated and appreciated.
And what a career you've had, Gene Parrott, just a great comedy writer, perhaps the funniest man you've never heard of. But you can read about him in his latest book, Tales from the Script, The Behind-the-Camera Adventures of a TV Comedy Writer. Gene, where can people find your book if they're interested?
Well, they can call our office number, because we've got plenty of them here. And if you want them signed, let the people there know, and I'll do it. It's 818-865-7833. Or you can get on the website, which is Writing Comedy, one word, writingcomedy.com.
All right, Gene Parrott, thank you so much for being our special guest on Billy the Brain.
Bill, I enjoyed it.
Take care. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks.
And that brings us to the end of another show. You've been listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ. Tomorrow, my guests are going to be Vicky Kind. She's a bioethicist, and she's going to be talking about compassionate decision-making for those who can't decide, and the three-time mayor of New York City, Ed Koch. We end each show by saying, go out and be the change you want to see in the world. Coming up next is Leading Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. Stay tuned here on KKZZ. AM 1400.